Himalaya.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Professor's Inn podcast. I am Kel Weinhold, and we, as always, are thrilled to have you here.
And I am Karen Kelski of the Professor's Inn. And let's dive right into it. Today is a quick and dirty episode about LinkedIn, as promised.
Well, to be fair, it's not really about LinkedIn. Yes. It's about people's relationship to
LinkedIn
and how that relationship jacks you up.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, let me remind you I'm not reminding because I haven't mentioned it before, because this is brand new information. We have a LinkedIn webinar coming up. Our post-ac specialist, Dr. Darcy Hannibal, who, by the way, does LinkedIn consultations for anybody who wants it. So if you want more individualized help on this, come talk to us and we can hook you up. But Dr. Darcy Hannibal is also leading a brand new LinkedIn webinar. She should be doing it in about 2 weeks' time. And at that point, then we'll have a recording available for sale. So I'm excited about that.
And 2 weeks' time, for those of you who might have arrived to this podcast at any given moment, would be about the second week of September in 2020, the year of our hell. So,
there are lots of resources about using LinkedIn effectively out on the interwebs, and I urge you to look at those. But the fact is, none of them will be helpful to you if you are I'm going to say a typical academic, and I don't mean that as a put down at all. I just mean academics, we have a really visceral dislike of LinkedIn and what it represents and how, because we operate under a bunch of different myths that somehow the corporate world is bad, business is bad, money is bad, selling yourself is bad, networking is bad, all of it's bad, all these judgments. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Okay, I'm just going to say, I think that, yes, we think those are all bad because we, as academics, like to live in the fantasy that we are somehow separate from capitalism.
Right.
And so we can sit over here and think our heady big thoughts, and that separates us somehow from the unseemly business
money grabbing.
Yeah. Well, and also, I know that you have noticed and talk a lot about people's issues around money in the academy. I'm going to move over from the money part of it to the actual, that if you look at LinkedIn, it is positioned to sell yourself as a qualified candidate. And for some reason, if you do that in an academic cover letter, it is an okay and noble thing.
Well, actually, a lot of people struggle with it there, too, to be fair. But I hear what you're saying.
And somehow that guy over there trying to position himself for an executive sales job is just kind of like...
gross.
Oh, that's icky.
Yeah.
And there's a certain... And I talked to lots of academics, especially when I was doing The Art of Leaving, the beta test of it. And I've mentioned it a few times in the podcast, but it should be available at the very latest by the beginning of the year, but hopefully before that, as a digital course to buy. Because I know a lot of people need it right now. But the beta testers talked over and over and over again about how they just felt icky, like literally the word icky, or it feels so kind of slimy, or it feels so salesy, or it feels
so... used car salesman or something.
Yeah, it feels so like you're trying to promote yourself, and it's just...
Right, well, self-promotion is a dirty word in the academy.
Right, because you promote yourself by doing, like, you don't have to sell yourself. You just have to say, I have 4 published articles. Then it doesn't require you saying, and that means this. Like, the translation's done for you.
Yeah, well, also, even in the academy, I mean, you are explicitly shamed and judged when you do self-promotion under the old guard. I think that's changing, and it should change. I totally disapprove of this value system, but... the idea that you would admit that you send your off prints of your, most recent article to influential people in your field who had an influence on your thinking, because you want them to know about you and what you do, to admit that publicly is a deeply shameful act, and you will get reprimanded for it by a certain ilk of tenured male professor, most likely.
Well, and how
not
about
necessarily male, but you know what I mean.
How about taking your work that you just got a Fulbright, or you just got an article published, or your book just came out? And how about contacting your university news bureau?
Oh my.
Right?
And the news bureau is like begging you to do that.
They're just like, yay, let's do this. Right? How about putting out on Twitter, hey, my article came out today. Mm-hmm. Right? All that stuff. So we're not big on self-promotion. So,
right. Let's move on. Let's not do a digression, because I had a story to tell when I was a department head, but I'll tell it another time.
Right. And the
LinkedIn.
And the reason that we're staying on track today, folks, is we literally have 30 minutes to do this podcast. Mm. We don't have any more time than that. We always aim for 30 minutes. We never hit 30 mm-hmm. minutes.
But today we will.
So here are the steps. The first thing you have to do is you have to create a LinkedIn profile. Okay, folks, you just have to go in there
and just do it.
Put your name. Just do that if that's all you can do. But mm-hmm. just break the barrier of putting it in. Mm-hmm. The next thing you need to do is become familiar with the components of the LinkedIn profile. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, before anybody asks us, we're not actually advocating LinkedIn as a cool, great business. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this is the place people go to look for jobs and to put themselves out there mm-hmm. for jobs. So just, we're accepting that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have to know the components of the LinkedIn profile. And my experience is that when academics start looking at the components of a LinkedIn profile, all of their shit that comes up, like, right, all the stuff that we were talking about in the previous episode about this, about like identifying your skills and doing that, all comes up.
Like, I don't have anything to put into these boxes.
Right.
Now, I just want to say at the outset that, Cal, you have been involved, you have been looking at LinkedIn and talking to people about LinkedIn just as you've developed this Art of Leaving program. I have not. I do have a LinkedIn profile. I never visit it. I updated it when my book was published in 2015, and I think that's the last I've actually looked at it. So I'm not going to have a ton to contribute here about the specifics of LinkedIn.
Right, and I'm not going to go through each of those. I'm just saying that you really have to deal with them. And but there are two places that I think that are the sticking points. Mm-hmm. And the one is the headline, like the way you describe yourself.
Headline, yeah.
And the other one is the summary. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you write about yourself?
Oh my goodness.
And so those two things are the places where, you know, how do you, how are you going to put out there who you are?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I have people do, because, you know, I'm me and the mm-hmm. way I work, right, is I have them write about answering questions like, if, you know, in your wildest dreams, right? In if you could be doing anything that you wanted to do, if it didn't look like this, if it wasn't in academia, and you didn't have to do money, family, obligations, mm-hmm. whatever, what do you want to be? Mm-hmm. Like, what would you want to be? Mm-hmm. And it's not because you're going to write your headline as, mm-hmm. you know, I want to be a lion tamer. You need to look at, like, how are you beginning to see yourself? Because if you're going to create a whole new path,
mm-hmm.
Decide where you want to get to. You don't get to start there. Let's just remind everybody that you spent anywhere from a couple of years into decades into this job. So you're not going to start where you left off, right?
You spent decades in the academic.
Right, right.
Working toward the academic job.
Right.
So yeah, so what you do here is just going to be your first step.
Right. And it doesn't mean you're going to plummet back down to just entering grad school, but it mm-hmm. does mean that you have to start thinking about, okay, what do I want to be and where's a place I can step over mm-hmm. so I can start going up.
Do you have any examples handy of example headlines that post-academic folks have done? Because it would be helpful, I think.
That would be really helpful, wouldn't it?
Have some. Because I want to say that in the previous years, a common element of a resume was to have an objective at the top. And objectives are tacky, uh-huh. and they have gone out of favor. And I think uh-huh. LinkedIn has played a large role in objectives being replaced by headlines. Because objectives are like, seeking a high-powered position that utilizes my talents in,
right,
you know, and
right.
that's just like, come on, that really does sound like a used car salesman. But a headline is award-winning graphic designer specializing in
mm-hmm.
Television advertising, you know, and that's like, oh, okay, we've gotten a bunch of valuable information right there.
Right, and here's the problem, because we've gotten the cart way before the horse.
Hmm.
because you can't really do your headline until you think about where you want to be.
And you know what? The headline isn't, although it's the first thing on the profile, it's probably the last thing. It's a little bit like writing your dissertation, that in some ways the introduction is the last thing you write.
Right.
Because you don't know where you're going to go until you get there.
Because it has to be, the headline has to be tailored to your audience,
yes.
Right? Like it has to be like, I'm aiming at this industry,
yes,
these
course.
People, right?
Right?
It has to include what you're talking about, sort of like your value, your what are you proposing that the value that you bring,
mm-hmm.
that has to change depending on, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, it's almost like the when you talk about academic cover letters and how you change them for different things, mm-hmm. you're not going to do that in your headline, but you are going to do that if you were writing your academic headline versus I'm going to now shift and start thinking about, I want to work for, you know, a nonprofit, or mm-hmm. I want to work for an NGO looking mm-hmm. at these things. You're going to change that to talk to that audience,
sure.
and to bring your value
yeah,
to
course,
that, right?
Of course.
And you have to use their language.
Yes, of course,
right?
You do.
So, yeah. So we can leap, you know, if I gave you examples, it would be hard because, first of all, I don't have any. But second of all, I think it would be super hard because it would just depend on where you were trying to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to go? So here's one. Helping smart managers keep their employees engaged and productive.
Mm,
right?
That's really nice.
Right? So
yeah.
That's a classic kind of, you can take all of those skills to be
mm-hmm.
able to say, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me back up. Let's remind our listeners of the number one rule of the job search. Who is the job search about?
Not you.
It's not about you. It's about them. It's about the hiring people, and they have a problem and they need that problem solved.
Right.
They have a pain point and they need a treatment for that pain point. They need a warm body who's going to come in and solve this problem for them so they don't have to think about it anymore. So that headline you just read, it was helping smart managers keep their employees happy and productive, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So what a huge pain point. What a massive pain point. Managers struggle keeping their employees on track and content and productive. And so if you walk in with a headline and say, I help you do that. I have the skills. I can make that possible. They're going to be like, oh, thank God.
Right.
And instantly they're going to stay on your page and they're going to keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what a headline does.
Mm-hmm.
Identify the pain points of the types of jobs that you are currently targeting.
Right. And that's another, just let me say quickly that that's another thing that I have people do in The Art of Leaving is that I have them begin to write about and understand what is the problem that they're solving with their
mm-hmm.
work. Like they are actually solving a problem constantly in their academic work.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to understand the problem you're solving so you can begin to understand the idea of a problem mentality, a
mm-hmm.
problem solving mentality. So then you can write your LinkedIn and you can write your cover letter mm-hmm. and do those things as solving a problem, which your academic cover letter does too,
but
not
it's a
as
different
overtly.
Problem. Well, it's a different, let me just, I was going to say, not your academic work though necessarily, unless you're a chemist who can immediately translate from your academic lab research to industry lab research. Okay, fine, that works. But most of us can't do that. Most of us have to construct entirely new problems that are not the problem of, oh, how should we properly interpret the Saxon invasion of Britain? Was it an invasion or of a large number of people, or was it a trickle that just, you know, that was... you know, sorry, I'm getting off track here.
Anyway. Just slightly, we returned.
Yeah. Anyhow, that's
somehow people had escaped
to the Dark Ages. But no. Anyway, that's a problem. That's an academic problem. Whole dissertations are written on that. That's not what we're talking about. But returning to what you said, a problem mentality, problem solving mentality. That there are problems out there in the world that you, with all of your many many skills, are situated to solve.
And so let's just go back here, and maybe we should have started with this, but we just need to really sit with, go ahead, go back to the fact that you hate LinkedIn, go back to the fact that it makes you feel creepy, and go back to the sit with the truth that what you're doing, whether you like it or not, in an academic job, cover letter and interview and everything else, and you're doing on LinkedIn is you are the product you are selling.
Mm-hmm.
You are trying to sell you.
You are.
And this is very overt
mm-hmm.
on LinkedIn. And that's why it's disquieting for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's also disquieting because you have to actually try to parse out, do that differentiating we talked about in the other podcast we did about this, you have to sit and say, okay, what are my skills? How do I present them? And how do I show them that they solve the problem mm-hmm. that the people I want to work for have? Mm-hmm. And so that headline can become a place of exploring. Yeah. This is what I bring. This mm-hmm. is my value. This is my value proposition.
And some of you are sitting here saying, but I don't know what problems they have. And that's valid. Mm-hmm. But that means you have to use your gigantic PhD brain research skills and do a bunch of research to find out what the problems are that out there in the world, whether it's the nonprofits, the corporations, the organizations, the associations, whatever it is that you're targeting, you have to figure out what problems they have. Nobody's going to come tell you that. I mean, it's out there.
It's the same thing you do in the academic job search. Mm-hmm. You go look and see what are they doing?
And sometimes they don't do that too. Just reminding you, you have to do this for all jobs.
Yeah, sure,
you
have to do it. Yeah.
But so people write about problems. The Harvard Business Review is all about the problems that the corporate world has and how people are trying to solve them. So, you know, the internet has made all of this so easy for you. So be sure and use it.
Well, so does operating in the world. Think about all the different places you intersect with and you think, wow, I'd really like to work for that NGO or I'd really like to work for that company. And then you watch them and say, wow, they really struggle with this and I could solve that. Mm-hmm. And then how you got to figure mm-hmm. out how to do it. So you're right. The PhD brain is so critical to that. So then after you figure out that headline, which you'll notice the one that I read you, right? It's a little bit hard for academics to think about, right? Mm-hmm. To say, you know, helping smart managers keep their employees engaged and productive. It's mm-hmm. just like, yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. but look at the key words here. I'm mm-hmm. helping. Mm-hmm. Now I'm manipulating you by saying smart managers mm-hmm. and people who are smart, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm hitting their pain points, engaged and productive. Mm-hmm. So you've understood what this company is dealing with, right?
I also want to remind our listeners of a very important point. If this language that you're going to encounter on LinkedIn makes your skin crawl, just remember our language makes their skin crawl. This goes both ways.
It does too.
The way we talk, the language we use, the pretentious, excessively long sentences with the highfalutin vocabulary and all the caveats and dependent clauses, all of it is so annoying. And so remember that the judgment goes both ways and you need to operate, you know, once you've made peace or provisional peace with the fact that, yeah, sorry, my dream job of being a professor is gone for now. I have to do this thing, make peace with it. And then remember, you need to speak the language of the world you're trying to enter.
And I know that for a lot of people, doing the LinkedIn profile has a whole lot of anxiety because they think people will see what I'm doing. People will see I'm thinking of something else. They're going to think I'm not committed to this, that, or the other thing. I think you need to be, you know, check yourself there on the cult mentality of it all. And also, if you need to, you know, feel like a warrior or a change agent, then think about how you saying to people very directly, absolutely, I'm doing that because I need to make sure I have a backup, and that's a reasonable mm-hmm. and progressive way to think about
it. Is
I cannot.
It's anti-elitist,
right?
You're making an intervention,
right? I can't think about just a single thing mm-hmm. as my, that's just not reasonable right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I am. I do have a LinkedIn, and mm-hmm. yes, I am exploring different ways that I can do it
and feel good about that. Don't let them shame you because you're doing the right thing. Anyways.
Yeah,
you were going to move on to...
No, I want to make one more point about LinkedIn, that just as a caveat. I think that LinkedIn, and I think this Zoom thing of the pandemic has really exacerbated it. I think academics are very used to feeling like everybody's watching, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's watching my article. Everybody's watching. They all think somebody else is paying attention to them, which mm-hmm. I think is fascinating, mm-hmm. but we'll just skip that part. And so you're going to go in and play with your LinkedIn profile and start to feel like the whole world is watching. Guess what? Somebody has to actually follow you on LinkedIn to see it.
Right.
And besides that, who cares? But if you can't get over that, right? If you can't bring yourself to the who cares moment, mm-hmm. then just do all of it in a Google Doc or in a notes file. Just start to work on it before mm-hmm. you're ready to take it out on the road. Oh, if it's too much for you to start off with, just play mm-hmm. with it. Read the articles, do the stuff. Because the next thing you need to do that is super difficult for people is your summary. Mm-hmm. So you have your headline And then you have your summary. Mm-hmm. And this is basically the place where you get to craft and define yourself in your own words, right? Mm-hmm. There's not the dates, the titles, the everything, and there's not a tied to anything. Mm-hmm. It's where you get to say, this is who I am and this is what I'm about.
What I think, and I talk about this in my post-ACT webinar, which, by the way, I'm giving in 2 weeks, so please come to it. It's called Going Post-ACT in a Pandemic, and it goes into all of this in way more detail with examples. But in any case, you know, as the professor is in, I do hire people, and I have hired post-academic coaches. Well, actually, that's the main, and also editors on the academic side. And what's interesting is that the cover letter, I ask for a resume and cover letter, and what people send me is very much a version of this summary that you're talking about on LinkedIn. And the thing is that just as a quick, you know, nutshell, you know, the academic quick bio summary will be, so-and-so has a PhD, I have a PhD in cultural anthropology, 1996, University of Hawaii. I taught at University of Oregon and University of Illinois. I have a scholarly monograph called blah, blah, blah from Duke University Press and also blah. And I'm currently working on academic research on blah, blah, blah. That's the classic bio or the summary. That is a terrible summary for anything that is outside the academy. And what I know as a person on the hiring side is that many people who apply to be coaches for the professors in send me that bio. And I'm like, ah, you don't get it. That's no, because what I want is a sociologist who is seeking, dedicated to helping other academics make the transition out to jobs outside the academy. I have 5 years of experience doing coaching, and I'm excited to put these skills to use for the professor is in. That's the kind of summary that would work. And people, but you know, not the stuff about your Fulbright and about your Duke University Press book and this and that. So that's like that. You have to learn a whole new set of content that is equally valid. You never lie. Nothing's ever untrue. It's just you're taking a whole different set of things and telling a different story.
Well, and the first thing that you said is one of the most critical parts of a summary, which is what makes you tick. Why? What's your, if you read a whole bunch of different things about how to write your LinkedIn profile, the P word comes up a lot. What's your passion? I know that it just makes you,
Eek.
It makes you very upset. Yeah. With that said, they want to know what drives you,
I know. And our post-academic...
Besides the paycheck.
Our post-academic coaches use the P word all the time, and it drives me nuts. But I never, never speak against it because that's how it works out there in the rest of the world.
Right. There's focusing on the problems that you solve in the current work that you do.
By the way, the P word is passion and passionate. Yeah.
I thought I said that.
Well, you did, but I just wanted to make sure everybody caught it and not problem, because that's also a P word.
There's a lot of P words, including P. Anyway, moving on. So you need to talk about what makes you tick. You need to explain sort of in your current work or with your current experience, what problems do you solve? Mm-hmm. If you need to frame your past, which I think for a lot of academics, you're going to need to, you can use it as a place to sort of call out your job history to say, this is my history and this is what I've been doing with it. And this is what makes me, you know, what makes me good for this thing that I'm aiming at, which I've already told you in my headline, right?
Extensive experience in research writing and public speaking. Every one of us could write that. Every PhD can write that. That's a new way of framing what you do in grad school. But by the way, that wouldn't be perfect for all job spheres, of course, but some of them, absolutely. Yeah, some of them need people to go in and be researchers, writers, and speakers.
Right. And just as a reminder, at least last time I checked, this summary has a 2,000 character limit.
Mm-hmm.
So the extensive subordinate clauses are going to have to figure out how to get to the point.
Extensive subordinate clauses. So we should just call ourselves the people of the extensive
the people of
subordinate,
the subordinate
the
clause.
The people of the subordinate clause.
So I used to work in communications, and I would work with academics and prep them for like public interviews. And I remember working with, and this was
well,
after
you worked
I
with
left.
Me.
I know, but I remember after I, after after I left that, that was long career long in the past. And I was helping an academic friend of mine who had a major interview coming up. And every time question I would ask him, he would start back. I swear academics feel like they have to start back at the Dark Ages, the early medieval. And they have to explain everything to get to, you know, why Taj Mahal decided to use this particular phrasing in this particular, you know, piece of music. And it's just like, okay, mm-hmm. let's just context, let's move that away. What's the point you want mm-hmm. to make? And it's always buried. It's mm-hmm. always buried.
And you coached me extensively when I started the Professor's Inn and began to get some media traction, and people began to want to interview me, and I was the world's worst interview because I was a classic academic, and I would be like, well, you know, other influences notwithstanding, it is justifiable to claim, although not exclusively, that in some cases academics are ill prepared for the job market. Yeah. Although, you know, it's like anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So
don't do that.
It may not be your skill set. Direct communication, right, like really concise writing is not encouraged or appreciated in the academy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to argue that concise, well-chosen, every word matters, much like you would say in a cover letter, that it matters. So,
but let me also say that what is considered concise in the academy is still too wordy for outside the academy. Your standards, your bar has to fundamentally change.
Right. So let's just do a couple of key things so this is what I want you to think about with your LinkedIn. So I'm not going to go through every single component of a LinkedIn. You have to decide how to frame your experience and yada, yada, yada. And there's a ton of research on that. I just want to go back to these two key things because I think they're the emotional and the intellectual barrier for academics. Mm-hmm. How do I write a headline? There's a ton of research that has to go into it before you ever get to there mm-hmm. to know which direction do I want to go. So make 10 different Google Docs and make 10 different headlines.
Of course.
Play with it. Think mm-hmm. of it as a place of exploration mm-hmm. rather than a place of fear and terror.
Yes.
So that headline. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that summary. Mm-hmm. Begin to think about what makes me tick? Mm-hmm. What problems do I solve with mm-hmm. what I do now? How am I going to do that for
and
you?
And make 10 different ones of those too.
Right. Remembering some really important things. That goes back to the subordinate clause thing. That first sentence matters.
It does matter.
That first sentence matters a lot.
Your prime real estate.
So don't start with, hi, I'm, you know, Bill or whatever. Start with that first like hook sentence. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of summaries. Go out, look for academics you know who've mm-hmm. left. Go find their LinkedIn and look at what did they write as their first sentence.
And copy and paste them into a doc and study them and examine them the way you would use your PhD brain, take them apart and figure out what makes them work. Why do they work for you? And then emulate that in your own.
So that first sentence. And then the other thing I just want to mention, because we are absolutely out of time, is how important keywords are.
Oh, yeah.
Algorithms run everything. Mm-hmm. Keywords are incredibly important. Mm-hmm. You looking at job descriptions and job ads to understand what they're looking for, it is so important that your summary contains keywords that click for people, that they see themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that I would say, and certainly you would say this, you say it in cover letters, we say it in interviews, we say it all the time, ditch your freaking jargon. Like whatever jargon that exists right now that only you and your field understand, pull it away mm-hmm. and find the words that mean the same thing to almost everybody who reads it, right? Mm-hmm. They get it. Mm-hmm. That was not a very clear way to say that, but mm-hmm. you know, first sentence counts, know the keywords, cut out that crap and be concise. Yeah. All right. So that's a little
primer
to the LinkedIn. Emotional
and practical
jumping off point of LinkedIn. Good luck with it. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.